A country in Africa declares an emergency over a drug made out of human bones. Everyone in Japan will have the last name Sato by 2531. And a 9-year-old missed his school bus and stole his mother's car to get there. These are the weird stories on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast hosted by a comedian. I have 3 weird news stories from all around the world for you. Let's get right to it, shall we? A country in Africa declares an emergency over a drug made out of human bones. Sounds pretty intense. Sierra Leone is the country. It's in West Africa. The president has declared a national emergency over rampant drug use, apparently. This particular drug is called Kush. It's a psychoactive blend of addicted substances, and it's been prevalent in the country for many years. President Julius Madabio called the drug a death trap and said it poses an existential crisis. One of the drug's many ingredients, apparently, is human bones. Smoking bones. This gives smoking bones a whole new meaning. And we have a thing called Kush. It's cannabis, though. People sometimes will call cannabis Kush. It's a strain of cannabis, I believe. But in this country, Kush is human bone drug. Crazy. Security has been tightened in cemeteries over in Sierra Leone because they have to stop the addicts from digging up skeletons from the graves. Imagine that, in a cemetery digging up graves. What are you doing, grave robber? Is this for medical purposes? Nope. It's because I want to get high. I need these bones to get high. Oh, this is wild. Groups of mostly young men sitting on street corners with limbs swollen by the Kush abuse is a very common sight, sadly, in Sierra Leone. So it sort of looks like downtown Philly, I think. With a bandage around his ankle, one recovering addict told the media that the drug has a very tight grip on him. He says, I don't like doing this, but I cannot leave it because I enjoy it. Yeah, this is how drug addiction works. This is how they get you. There is no official death toll, but one doctor told the media that in recent months, hundreds of young men have died from organ failure caused by Kush in the capital, Freetown. The psychoactive substance also takes a toll on mental health. The Sierra Leone Psychiatric Hospital, which is the country's only institution of this kind, says between 2020 and 2023, admissions linked to Kush abuse surged by almost 4,000%. 4,000%. The spike in Kush has seen Freetown's main cemeteries request police security to protect themselves from the young men digging up all of these skeletons, which they then grind up the human bones. This is one of the many ingredients used to make Kush, although it is not clear why. I guess it's not clear why they're using human bone. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't seem to me that human bone would be psychoactive, but I don't know. People get high off toad venom and other weird things. People apparently back in the day were smoking banana peels. I don't know. You ever heard that song? They call it Mellow Yellow. They call it Mellow Yellow. Apparently that song's about smoking banana peels. I don't know if it works, but let's pause the show and Jonesy's going to do an experiment. Hey, guys. How are you? I'm feeling amazing, man. I didn't know that you could do that with a banana peel. I'm just kidding, guys. I didn't do it with a banana peel. Although I'm not against it. It sounds like a cheap high, and I'm all for cheap highs. Not all for, but it's something I'll consider. But, you know, it's crazy to go get skeletons to get high. First of all, you have to really break the law, be a grave robber. Sounds dangerous. Then you got to grind up bones. It's just so much work. Guys, just do the other stuff. You know, cough syrup you can get at the 7-Eleven. It's way easier. Okay, so in a nationwide broadcast, President Bio said, quote, our country is currently faced with an existential threat due to the ravaging impact of these drugs and the substance abuse, particularly the devastating synthetic drug Kush. He added that there have been escalating fatalities among the Kush users. This is not a good situation. It's very sad. I feel bad for these people. This president here also directed the officials to set up a national task force on drugs and substance abuse, which will primarily focus on battling the Kush crisis. Well, don't take a page out of the book of my country, which is to criminalize drug abusers, because that doesn't solve the problem. I hope that this man tries to tackle it in a much more, how shall we say, functional way. Maybe something holistic. Oh, here it says what he's going to do. The centers will be set up in every district to help. They will be adequately staffed by trained professionals to offer care and support to people with drug addiction. Imagine that, offering care and support to people with drug addiction instead of prison. Yeah, prison. Meanwhile, we have here the mayor of Freetown, Kweku Lisk, who says his office had requested security from the local police in order to tackle all of the grave diggers. At the moment, there's a nighttime police deployment at the Kissy Road Cemetery, which is a large unfenced site in an eastern suburb. Major problem with grave diggers. That's the sad fallout of this, as well as the addiction, obviously. But, you know, grave robbery, that's just wild, man. And it leads me to believe that for some reason, it's human bones only is used in this drug concoction. I don't know why. I bet there's some sort of superstition behind that. I don't know what it is, but you know, you can imagine that countries in Africa have such ideas. I don't know. I don't want to prejudge, though. I could do a deeper dive into this drug and how it was invented and stuff, but we're already at 6 minutes, so maybe I'll save that for the Patreon. Everyone in Japan will have the last name Sato by 2531, unless a law changes. The story is out of Japan. We have citizens who will have the same family name in 500 years, apparently, unless married couples are permitted to use separate surnames. This is a new study done by a professor of law. He's suggesting, as part of a campaign to update this civil code that dates back to the late 1800s. This guy's name is Hiroshi Yoshida, a professor of economy. He projected that if Japan continues to insist that couples select a single surname, every single Japanese person will be known as Sato-san by the year 2531. Oh, how adorable. He thinks we're going to get to 2531, this guy. Yoshida, what are you doing? 2531, really? By 2531, there's only going to be like 400 humans left, just huddling around a small fire in some cave, because there's no more longer an atmosphere. 50 of them might be called Sato, but that's about it. Now it says here, Yoshida conceded his projections were based on several assumptions, but said the idea was to use numbers to explain the present system's potential effects on Japanese society to draw attention to this issue. All right, let's unpack what's going on here. Apparently, couples in Japan have to choose which surname to share when they get married, but in 95% of the cases, it is the woman who changes her name. Yeah, that's common in the States as well. I'd imagine that's common around the world. It says, however, the picture would be different if Japan's government submitted to growing pressure to allow married couples to use separate surnames. Yes, sure. They're given the choice, but the pressure is for them to take the man's name because, you know, in male-dominated society, this is what you have. You know, I mean, it's like women are kind of still treated like property. This is a remnant of when women were treated as property. You know, my woman, my farm, she takes my name, mine, you know, when men ruled the world. But some would argue that they still rule the world. But the women are catching up. And I would like to see a world where the women run it, see what that's like. That might be pretty cool. Now, Sato in Japan is the most common last name. 1.5% of the total population have this last name. Well, that's not that much, buddy. A close second is Suzuki. Very common. Now, this guy, Yoshida, did some calculations. The proportion of Japanese named Sato increased 1.0083 times from 2022 to 2023. Assuming the rate remains constant and there is no change to the law on surnames, around half of the Japanese population will have that name in 2,446, rising to 100% in 2,531. So he's just fiddling around with projections and numbers without taking in any other factors except for the increase in people named Sato in the past year. That's it. This isn't exactly scientific, Yoshida. Just I hate to be the one to break the news to you. I'm probably not breaking the news to him because he has no idea who I am, but this is just silly, you know, mathematical gymnastics to make a point. This is, should not be a concern. This is not a concern. For one, it's not taking into consideration future immigration. You know, Japan is a country now that there's not a lot of foreigners immigrating there. Or is it emigrating? Emigrating there. But this could all change. You're giving us a 500-year window. I mean, that kind of culture could flip-flop, and then all of a sudden you have a situation where a lot of people are moving to Japan. And then that will just throw your data into the fire, into the trash bin at that point. And that's just one factor that I came up with, some stupid podcaster. So imagine all of the other factors that one could consider. And you know, I stand behind the fact that we're not even going to be here in the year 2531 as well. I mean, that just seems rudimentary to me. I mean, and if we do make it 500 years, it's like the AI robots are going to be around running the show anyways, you know, and then we're all going to be saying domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, Sato. A 9-year-old boy missed the school bus and stole his mother's car to get to school. A California police officer got a shocking surprise when the car that he was chasing came to a full stop. Behind the wheel was a 9-year-old boy. Where was he going? Was he chasing Pokemon? No, he was making his way to school. Here's a quote from the officer Terry Dunn with the Oroville, California Highway Patrol. Just shock. Several other officers showed up as well, and it was kind of one of those no one really believed it kind of things. So several other officers showed up to the scene just to see, in fact, that it was a 9-year-old driving this vehicle. We couldn't believe it. Officer Dunn noticed that the car stopped in the middle of an intersection. He got on his police squad's PA system, ordered the car to pull over. Instead, the boy drove down a side street, made his way through an intersection, through a parking lot of a gas station. Navigating his way through the gas station, he made his way over through a dirt road parking lot and then stopped. Officer Dunn pulled up behind the car, and then the 9-year-old boy backed the car into Officer Dunn's patrol car. This kid. Well, he doesn't know how to drive, really, I assume. Maybe he's been taking mom's car for a spin, but only been doing it at night and no one knew. And now he was like, this daytime driving's hard. There's more cars on the highways. Here's another quote from the officer Dunn. Well, a few seconds later, I did notice a little head bobbing inside, unusual. Exited my patrol vehicle, made an approach. As I was walking towards the car, I could see a kid, which turned out to be this 9-year-old child. He stuck his head out the window, said, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get to school, officer. Well, it seems to me that he wasn't lying. The school was right next door. Yeah. So, we actually called the school, contacted the principal, who contacted the parent, and everyone showed up at the scene. Our officer, Dunn, is very happy and pleased that no one got hurt from this incident. Very lucky. He says it should serve as a lesson to keep car keys out of your children's reach at all times and teach your kids the importance of driver safety and driving laws. Hopefully a lot of other people take this to heart and learn from it. So hopefully this doesn't happen again in the future. Just maybe talk to your kids about the dangers of driving a vehicle and what could possibly happen. This story has a very positive, happy ending. According to Officer Dunn, no one was hurt. Not a single person was run over, nor any pets. And in addition, this young 9-year-old actually got to school despite everything. This guy was like, I'm getting to school hell or high water, I'll tell you. Imagine missed the bus. Well, mom keeps these keys around here somewhere. I guess he doesn't have a bicycle. It's a crafty guy, man. Hey, this kid's got goals and he wants to achieve them. I mean, wouldn't you love it as a parent to have a child that wants to go to school this badly? I mean, I never wanted to go to school. I hated it. I hated waiting for that bus. I hated getting out of bed. Yeah, I would. Oh, if I missed the bus, it's I missed the bus. What a shame. What a shame. I guess it's back home for me. Oh, terrible, terrible that I missed the bus. I would never then go and steal a vehicle or any mode of transportation to get to the school. I'll tell you right now, this kid's going to be in demand when he gets to school. What a badass. And everyone's going to know about it. And he is going to have the pick of any girlfriend he wants at that point. Who's not going to want to be with this? This guy's like the Bruce Springsteen of highways filled with broken hills. And oh, no, I think Thunder Road is more appropriate. Oh, Thunder Road. How does it go? What else can we do now? Except roll down the window and let the wind blow back your hair. Well, the night's busting open. These two lanes will take us anywhere. We got one last chance to make it real. To trade in these wings on some wheels. Climbing back, heaven's waiting down on the tracks. Oh, come take my hand. Is this it? I think that's it, right? Hey, my friends and loyal listeners, thanks for spending some time with me and the show. Appreciate you. I especially appreciate Camila. Camila just joined the Patreon. Isn't that lovely? Camila is showing gratitude for the Weird AF News podcast and showing support for Jonesy and the Weird AF News podcast by joining the Patreon. And I couldn't be more happy. And so I just wanted to make sure that Camila gets a big shout out on the show. Please enjoy the extra content inside the Patreon, Camila. That's the bonus that you get. You know, you get that good feeling knowing that you're also supporting a one-man production here as well. A guy who really gives a damn. But you also get extra weird content that I put into the Patreon. So thank you so much for joining. If you guys want to be generous and cool and kind and supportive like Camila, you can download the Patreon app on your smartphone and do a search for Weird AF News, or you can go to patreon.com/weirdafnews, or you can go to the official website, weirdafnews.com, and join the Patreon that way. Weirdafnews.com is a place that you can also buy Jonesy a coffee as well if you're feeling generous and you want to give me a shout out. So anyways, I'm a lucky guy. What can I say? I have a lot of people who support me, and what more can you ask for? So as an aside, I just want to let you know I'm now broadcasting from a different country, and I'm very tired right now, so I don't have the energy to kind of come up with a clever clue to where I am, but on the next episode, I'll give you guys a clue and see if you can figure it out. Couple of people figured out the country I was in last. Were you one of them? Anyways, I'll drop some clues. And if you want to reach out to me, the email's funnyjones@gmail.com. As always, we have a phone number here, 646-450-2012. If you want to call the show and leave a voicemail, I'm going to try and get to some calls tomorrow. On tomorrow's episode, I'll publish a few, I think. So get them in and get some sleep. All right. Got a big weekend ahead of you, so you know how it is. Just know that while you're sleeping tight, that Jonesy gives a damn. Jonesy gives a damn about you and your life, and that's why I tell you always, good luck with your life, man.